I am Plant on the Line. This is the commentary.ca. We look at the federal election here in Canada, what were the debates this week, and about 2 weeks to voting day. Joining me is Nelson Weissman, an associate professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of Toronto. He's the author of In Search of Canadian Political Culture, which was published earlier this year in paperback by UBC Press. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Nelson Weissman. Good morning, Professor Weissman.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. I get the sense that people pay attention to the beginning of the campaign. They get jacked up, excited about it, and then they start to sort of lose interest. Is that the case, do you think, or do you think people pay attention to the second half more than the first half?
Well, people get focused on their vote choice, usually. When I say people, we're not talking about everyone, because some people know how they're going to vote 10 years ago. But what we find is that it's in the last week or 10 days that the vote decision gets firmed up for a large percentage of voters. And that's why you'll see polls fluctuating a lot more during the campaign than they will in the last 3-4 days, where the various pollsters, their numbers tend to start coming together.
Do you get a sense that a lot of Canadians are paying attention to this campaign?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Voter turnout has gone down. I don't know if we'll take that as an indication of interest, because there are a lot of people who might sort of be following it but not voting, and then there are a lot of other people who vote but actually don't express much interest and just go out of a sense of civic obligation or duty. One issue involved in terms of maintaining interest levels is that this is the third election in 4 years. So some people become inured and then don't follow it as closely as, for example, in 1993 when we had an election after not having had one for 5 years. Also, another factor is related to whether there's been a recent provincial election. Some people only have a certain amount of energy to devote to politics. And also their interest is either piqued or dampened by the media. So if the media are spending a lot of time on the election and they can't get away from it, they tune in more. If the media, however, don't spend as much time, then there's less interest.
Do you find that Canadians are paying attention to the American campaign more so than any other previous American election?
That's a good question. Yes, my sense, you know, I can't speak for all previous American elections, but my sense is that there is much greater attention devoted than I can recall to other elections. 2000 had a lot of attention. You usually get more attention when there are two new contenders. That was the case in 2000, and it is the case now. Now, in the year 2000, however, one of the contenders, Al Gore, had been the vice president, so he was a known quantity. This time, the known quantity is, for Canadians, is John McCain, but he wasn't nearly as well known. The big surprise, of course, is Obama, and that has excited a lot of Canadians. Canadians, if they could vote, would vote overwhelmingly Democratic, probably about 80%. What I found interesting is that when the primary season was starting, 80% of those who were, how should I put it, in the Democratic camp, 80% were favoring Hillary Clinton. It's interesting now over whoever would be to be the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party. Now that Obama is the nominee, 80% still prefer him to McCain. So that reinforces this idea of Democratic bias among Canadian voters. And I would say that goes back at least to the 1930s and Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Do you think, though, Professor Weissman, that the Canadians are paying more attention to the American campaign than the Canadian one?
Well, a lot of them are. A lot of them have been electrified by the American campaign and are tuned out of the Canadian campaign. Then there are a lot of political junkies that just follow all campaigns. And no doubt there are some people like myself who simply, partly out of professional reasons, but I think it's exciting anyways, follow Canadian politics more closely than American politics. So it has to do with your orientation. I mean, some people, when they have the TV on, only watch CNN. So they, you know, they're not, and the Canadian election isn't covered. is those that follow Canadian TV are exposed to both the Canadian and American election, and indeed, until this election was called, many were just, we know the Canadian media was focusing on the American election. So they're getting a dose of both, and there are a lot of comparisons being made. I see a lot of questions about comparing and contrasting leadership styles. The other day I fielded a question about the comparing and contrasting our leaders' debates, and also this question about what is it that excites Canadians? Is it American elections or Canadian elections?
On the debates, in historically in Canada, do they have much effect on voters or undecided voters or voters who are decided?
Actually, the evidence suggests that debates don't have much effect. Now, it varies from debate to debate. I mean, one that's a lot of effect is attributed to is 1984 when Mulroney put down Turner in a very quick, short, but very powerful exchange dealing with patronage.
You had an option, sir, right?
Yes, but the Conservatives, I believe, would have won that election anyways. What the debate did was put the nail in the coffin of the Liberals and boosted the Conservative lead, and they ended up winning the largest number of seats ever, 211. But I don't think the debate turned the election. Then in 1988, the free trade debate is another memorable one. And there the media declared that Turner was the winner, although the night of the debate, when Canadians were asked, what we saw is that their opinions were more or less the same as what they were before the debate. Then Turner and the Liberals got a little spike up in the polls because the media was telling people Turner was the most effective. That was the pundits. But then the Conservatives managed to pull back any gains the Liberals made. So at the end of the day, I don't think it had much effect. It may have boosted the Liberal vote a bit, but the Conservatives won. So on the whole, I would say, when we think back, what was the effect of the debate before the 2006 election or the 2004 election? Did that swing those elections? Absolutely not. What swung it from the Liberals to the Conservatives in 2006, and you saw this in the polls, they switched immediately, was when the RCMP announced in a letter to an MP that it was launching an investigation into a leak from the finance department dealing with income trusts.
In the debates this week, do you think that, I'm just thinking, besides Dion and Elizabeth May, we've seen all the other leaders in the past, at least in the last three elections, Gilles Duceppe before that. Do you think Canadians get tired of the same leaders, do you think?
That is a factor. With respect to Gilles Duceppe, it doesn't matter. People outside of Quebec can't vote for his party. I don't even think he should be in the debate. The insertion of a new leader in the party, a new leader in the debate, changes the dynamic. And there's a big difference between Elizabeth May and Stéphane Dion. The established parties, like the Liberals, Conservatives, NDP, and the Bloc, have a brand, and they have brand loyalty. The Green Party has a brand, it's a relatively new brand, but it has an established brand loyalty. No more than 4.4% of Canadians have ever voted for it in a federal election. This debate offers the opportunity for Elizabeth May, who now is fairly well known because the media have been giving her unprecedented coverage. The Green Party's never gotten this amount of coverage in the past. It gives her another opportunity because she doesn't have a tarnished image, and a lot of people will be seeing her for the first time in an extended debate, and she's a woman, and she's articulate and passionate and sharp. That could have an effect and boost the Green Party's popularity. And let me give you an example of where when you insert a new actor, things can change very dramatically. If we ask, why is the Liberal Party in power today in British Columbia, I would point to the 1991 debate.
Gordon Wilson?
Yes, what happened is the broadcast executives decided to include the Liberal leader. And that changed the whole dynamic, because now people watching TV, watching the debate, said, oh, well, Van der Zandt's government seemed discredited because of scandals. The NDP was a known quantity, and seemed, you know, and even though its leader was relatively new, Mike Harcourt, people knew the message and had been around for decades, and all of a sudden people saw this guy, Gordon Wilson. The Liberals hadn't had more than a handful of seats in the BC legislature since 1952, when they were defeated as part of a coalition, and people said, oh, well, here's a guy, he sounds like he can keep up with the rest of them, he sounds smart, it's fresh ideas, so we can change our laundry and vote for him. The upshot of that election is the Liberals didn't win, but they displaced Social Credit as a major party, and Social Credit Party faded almost immediately. And then, although the Liberals didn't win the election after that, they were now positioned as the official opposition, if people wanted an alternative, to vote for them. And that's exactly what happened in 2001, and they won, if I'm not mistaken, 77 out of 79 seats.
That's correct, yeah. We had Wilson's wife on last week, and I asked her if there would be a Gordon Wilson moment in this debate, this forthcoming debate. She said that it would be between Elizabeth May or Stéphane Dion. She's predisposed to Dion because she's a Liberal. Do you think that the stakes are high for Dion on Thursday, that he has to deliver, like, sort of punch or something like that?
Well, as we said before, Joe, I mean, the experience is that the debates generally haven't changed that much. So Dion can be effective in the eyes of Liberals, and Harper will be effective in the eyes of Conservatives, and the same for Layton and NDPers. Evidence suggests, or the way I see it, is that these debates tend to reinforce predispositions rather than switch people dramatically. It may raise doubts about somebody, so a vote might get loosened a bit, or it may firm up the vote decision for somebody, but it's what will happen after the debate is that people who liked the Conservatives before will say Harper won, and people who liked the Liberals before will say Dion won, and it'll be the same for Layton. May has the potential here to change things. I don't think it much matters what Duceppe says. They're probably going to get about the same level of vote in Quebec. So the debate will simply be, in 2 hours, what we've been hearing in daily snippets of what they've been saying. And we'll get a fair bit of redundancy. The French debate will be a different dynamic, because the two fluent French speakers there, most fluent, will be Duceppe and Dion. But I think it's a little too late for Dion. And Harper's French is quite good, and if he speaks slowly, which he does, he can probably hold his own. But I expect sparks to fly between Duceppe and Dion.
And I read somewhere that you'd given an interview elsewhere, and you'd said that you're predicting a Harper majority, are you?
Yeah, I don't know where that appeared, but that's the case. But I'm not predicting, I think that will happen, certainly, if the numbers stay as they are today. But things change. 1 week into the last election, 1 week, 10 days into that election, I thought the Liberals were going to have a majority. I certainly did not think that by the end of the campaign. In fact, 2 weeks before that campaign was over in 06, I thought the Conservatives had an excellent chance of a majority. So, you know, predictions at this point don't mean much. If you show me the poll numbers on the last day they'll publish, I'll give you my prediction. I'm saying if there were an election today, the Conservatives would not only win a majority, they would win a solid majority. One poll has them at 40 this Saturday, Angus Reid, with the Liberals and NDP at 21. Another poll today in the same newspaper, the Toronto Star, Harris Decima, has the Conservatives at 36, Liberals at 25, NDP at 19. So this speaks to my earlier point that there's still substantial variation there in the numbers. Now, there is a margin of error, but what those numbers tell me is that the Conservatives, even if they don't pick up one more vote than last time, they only had 36, they got a minority, they can still form a majority because the opposition to them is that much more fractured. And that's happened with an uptick in the vote for the NDP, and the Green Party eating the lunch of the Liberals. And they've taken some NDPers as well, but then the NDP has picked up, it looks like, some votes from the Liberals. So you see, you can win a majority with 36% of the vote. And a lot of people think you can't, but it just depends how fractured your opposition is. When you got five parties, you know, you can win a majority with 25%. In theory, you can win with 25% of the vote. It's a first-past-the-post system, and it comes down to individual constituencies. And I see much more potential upside now for the Conservatives than there was last time.
And finally, Professor Weissman, Thursday night, the English language debate and the vice presidential debate, will there be one that you'll be watching?
Oh, well, I'll be watching the Canadian debate, and occasionally I might click on to the American debate. No, but I'll watch the Canadian debate, but actually I notice that I tune out in parts of the debates because I find parts of them repetitive. It's when there's some sort of explosion of passion and emotion that we get tuned in. That attracts us. I'm not sure it changes our votes that much. The thing to look out for, Joe, I would say, in these two debates is how different the tenor of the debates are. The American debates, and last week we had the American presidential candidates debating, is more of a genuine debate in the sense you have two people responding to a single point. The Canadian debate, especially because you have five people, becomes more of a free-for-all and becomes more imitative of the kind of debate that goes on in the House of Commons, which is more chaotic, and it won't be as gentle. It'll be insulting. You did not hear the candidates last week insulting each other. They went out of their way not to. They simply tried to score points intellectually on their merits. Here, it'll be different. People will be interrupting, cutting each other off, being much more passionate, and messier all around.
Well, we'll watch the debates Thursday, and I do appreciate you, Professor Weissman, taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Joe.
Nelson Weissman is Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Toronto. I was rereading his book this weekend, In Search of Canadian Political Culture. I did enjoy it. Do pick it up. UBC Press published it. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Planta.